So criticism, the kind that hurts people's feelings and putting them down, trying to send them away, it's very hurtful. It can cause a person so much pain, they don't even want to live anymore. It can also keep people out of the kingdom. Today's story is in Luke chapter 15. It begins this way. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and he eats with them." So let's see, what's happening here? Sinners with hard, icy cold hearts are thawing out. They're getting interested in God and they're coming to hear more about him. And some of the religious leaders, the people that should be going, "All right, people are coming to church now." They wanted Jesus to just send those people away. Yep, the leaders, the very people that should rejoice that men and women are turning to God, wanted them turned away because they're sinners. They had no idea just how extensive God's grace could be to change people's lives. Their relationship with God, who forgave them of their sins, had deteriorated from a relationship with God to a religion, from a relationship with God to a set of rules. They didn't care about the lost. They didn't evangelize. Religion was just for good folks like them. They must have thought, "What is wrong with Jesus hanging out with these people?" And a New Testament, a modern day person might might have thought of a verse like Revelation 21:8, which gives a list of sinners you won't find in heaven. They had holier-than-thou attitudes. This migration from a relationship to religion is a danger. It's one of the pitfalls. I lost my place. Pitfalls to run. This migration from relationship to religion is one of the dangers, one of the pitfalls to running the good race of God. If we only serve God three quarters of the time, but the last quarter of our life we move into religion, it doesn't work so good. It's kind of like if I'm trying to eat less. I'm trying to make a little less of me right now. And if I suffer through the morning and through make it to lunch and finally eat but not as much as I want, and make it to dinner and eat less than I want, if at 10:30 I pig out on pie, I shouldn't have bothered. It just doesn't work. We have to stay in relationship to God and in relationship with our brothers and sisters. For only he who dies in Christ gets the prize of heaven. When Jesus heard the scribes and the Pharisees, their criticism, I don't think he liked it any better than we like criticism. So he told them three stories to try to teach them a lesson about the Father's great love for the lost. He told them about the sheep. He told them about the lost coin, and then about the lost son and his older brother. So the sheep, he said to them, which of you, if you had 100 sheep and one was missing, wouldn't leave the 99 and go look for the lost sheep? And when you found it, you'd rejoice. You'd pick it up on your shoulders and walk home and call your buddies over. Let's celebrate. Lost sheep was found. Sorry about the noise. And Jesus says, yeah. And he tells them, count on it. You know, there's a celebration in heaven when a sinner comes back to God. And then he tells about a woman who's lost one of her 10 coins. And won't she light a light and search the whole house? And when she finds that coin, won't she invite her friends over and come celebrate with me? I found my lost coin. And I think these two stories were told. They're very brief. Oh, we'll get to that later. The last story is about the lost son and his older brother. So Jesus said, you know, this man, I'll try moving. This man had two sons, and the younger son said, I want my inheritance now. And dad agreed, gave him his inheritance, and pretty soon he settled up, took his money and left to a far country. And there he had wild living, and he spent all the money. It was all gone. And then he found a job, tried working for a while, and I don't know, I assume he got some sort of food, but not enough at that job. He's out there hungry, and here's a Jewish boy feeding slop to pigs. And he really wanted some of their food too, but no one would let him have it. And that's when he came to himself. That's when he goes, even my father's servants have plenty to eat, and decided he was going home. And his father saw him from afar off and came running to him, wrapped his arms around him, and you know, get a good set of clothes on him, sandals, ring, get a party going, gonna butcher the cow, that's what they did. They had a party the rest of the day, and the elder brother kept working to the end of the day. And when he came in, what's this noise? What's going on? Oh, your younger brother returned, and your dad's throwing a party, and he just sulked. And he wouldn't go in, and the dad had to go out to him. And he said, you know, the son complained. I've worked for you all these years, and you never gave me so much as a goat. And here, this son of yours who's wasted your money on whores has come back, and you throw a party. And he wasn't going to go in. And the father says, son, don't you understand? This brother of yours, he was lost. He was dead. And now he's come back. We had to rejoice. So Jesus, again, aware of the scribes and the Pharisees murmuring, that's why he told them those three stories. The first story, you know, the guys could really identify with it. And the second, with the lost sheep. You know, which of them wouldn't leave and go searching for the lost one? They all would. And they all would rejoice when the sheep was found. And again, Jesus said, count on it. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner's rescued life than over 99 good people who don't need a rescue. You know, then he told them about that lost coin. Now, these men could relate to that well enough. They all had mothers, sisters, probably some of them had daughters and everything. They understood how a woman would care and do all that searching and stuff. And she'd search her house until she found the coin. And she would rejoice more over that coin than the 9 other identical coins she had that were never lost. Verse 9, when she finds it, she will call her friends and neighbors together and say, rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there's... can't really turn away from this mic anymore. There is more rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. These two stories, I think, prepared them to listen to the big story, Jesus' main point. We often call that story the prodigal son. Can we focus on Him? And sometimes now we'll hear people call it the elder brother and focus on his perspective. But I read recently where a man told this story to some Middle Easterners. And it was interesting. They had a different reaction to it. First of all, it was amazing to them that the father didn't just slap the younger son in the head for asking for his inheritance. I mean, it's kind of, you're better off dead to me, Dad. I want what's coming to me. And the second thing that amazed them was the unmerited grace the father showed on this son who brought shame on the family and financial hardship and all. So in the Middle East, most of the people, I guess, would agree with the elder son's annoyance. That kind of love was foreign to them. That kind of grace was unheard of. And I bet the story was pretty shocking to the scribes and the Pharisees listening as Jesus told it the first time. Since Jesus' point, reason for telling the story was to have a heart change in the scribes and Pharisees. Let's look at them. Anyway, I think, what was Jesus trying to teach them? In all three of these stories, I see in all three of these stories that God values what is lost, and so should we. In each story, the lost item, the sheep, the coin, and the son have value. You know, the sheep would have value because of their wool, because of their meat, and they can be used for sacrifices. And they have a role in the flock, in the herd. And the coin, it says it's a silver coin, I think. It has intrinsic value, but also it may have been part of the woman's dowry. It may have been part of a necklace or both of those things. So it would have sentimental value to her. And the son was valued by the father. All three of these stories stem from the murmuring of the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus welcomed sinners. Those are the people represented by the sheep, the coins, and the lost son. Those people, the sinners, are valued by God. I see something else in these three stories. God searches for the lost, and so should we. How long does it take to find a lost sheep, I wonder? It could take half an hour. It could take a few days. In the Old Testament, before Saul was king, he was out. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 9. His dad's donkeys wandered off. And it says they looked, Saul and one of his dad's servants looked all through the country of Ephraim and around Shalisha, which I suppose is a city. I didn't look that up, before they went and asked the prophet Samuel about the donkeys. So they spent a lot of time searching for what was lost. What does it say about the woman? You know, that she'd light a lamp and she'd scour the whole house, looking in every nook and cranny until she found it. Now, the father's search was a little different. I mean, if the son left today, 2 days from now, if the father hired detectives and searched out the son and showed up at his door and said, "Here I am, son, I forgive you, come home." Let's say, "Forget you, I'm going to a further country." He'd have just left. The father, we know that the father was searching, was watching for the son, because it says, while he was still far off, the father saw him and ran to him. That son. You know, when he ran out of money, that's not when he came to his senses. He ran out of money and then he found a job. I'd say he tried, he came to the end of his resources and he tried to fix things himself. And lots of people try to fix things themselves. It was only when he suffered some more that he goes, I should return home. Even the servants get plenty to eat. It wasn't until he experienced more deprivation and hunger that he had a heart change. The father's search, is revealed by his watching for the son. The message puts it this way: when he was still a long way off, his father saw him. So the lost is valued and God searches. And then God rejoices when the lost is found, and so should we. The man who found his lost sheep, he came home and had a party with his friends. The woman who found it, and it says, count on it, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner rescued than over 99 good people. The woman found her lost coin, and she called all her friends and neighbors over. I found my lost coin. The scribes and the Pharisees could just picture this scene. But Jesus followed it up saying, count on it. That's the kind of party God's angels throw every time one lost soul turns to God. So in the story of the prodigal son, the father rejoices. He does several things. He runs. How undignified. At least I've read in the Middle East, the older men don't run. Puts a ring on, that's authority of the family, and sandals, slaves don't wear sandals, didn't. And throws that big party with music and, yes, dancing. And food because of his lost son, who was dead, is now alive. He's not going to be a mere hired hand. He's going to be brought right back into the family. But the elder brother, faithful, obedient brother, is in a sulk over the whole deal. He was unwilling to rejoice that his brother, who was dead to them, is now alive again. The elder brother doesn't have the father's values, does not value his younger brother. He didn't look for his lost younger brother, didn't welcome his repentant brother. Do you? Do I have the values of the father or of the elder brother? The elder brother, he didn't search for Junior, for dad's other son. He didn't care about his lost brother. Do you? The father pleaded with him to join the celebration. He pleads with us to join the celebration too. As Jesus told these three stories, to turn the scribes and the Pharisees' hearts to rejoicing that sinners were turning to God. You know, that last story, it doesn't tell us if the brother came in or not. Neither does the gospel tell us how the scribes and the Pharisees responded, except later in Matthew, he tells the scribes and the Pharisees, Matthew 23:13, that they shut people out of heaven. God's children fail him when they shut people out. There's a movie that my friend Bailey has talked about for years and told me I should see. And this week I've seen a little of it. It's called To Save a Life. Now, it starts off with a funeral for a teenager. And while this one guy's at the funeral, he remembers his friend. And they were friends as they were little kids. And they were messing around. What's his name? Jake stumbles into the street. And his friend Roger runs and pushes him out of the way. And he gets hit by the car that's coming. And things don't heal right. So 4 years later, Jake is a star athlete, and he's being pulled into the popular crowd group at school because of that. And his friend, who walks around with a limp, is lame. And all that cool crowd thinks, Roger is lame. He's not part of them. And Jake has to choose between the popular crowd and his friend. And eventually, his friend finds the criticism, the rejection, so bad that he kills himself. That's the funeral at the beginning of the movie. You know, it's just a movie story. But that begins a change in Jake's heart, and he starts loving the unlovely. And I haven't finished the movie, but it's pretty sure how it's going to go, that he gets rejected for his love, just like Jesus was getting rejected for his love for the unpopular. Jesus told these stories to try and touch uncaring hearts of the scribes and Pharisees. Perhaps the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you this morning. Today, if you're in the position of the lost son, well, come, or daughter, come to your senses. We don't have a cow to barbecue, but we'll rejoice with you, and there'll be a big party in heaven if you accept him today. Today, if you're in the position of those scribes and Pharisees, obedient to God, you're uncomfortable with young people coming to church, interested in Christ, showing up in church, you know, with their tattoos and piercings and everything. Get over your holiness. Remember, no matter how sanctified you are, a little bit or a whole lot, it's your relationship with God that makes the difference. If you're ever in the position of the Father, someone is lost to you. Pray for them and search for them in ways. Search for ways you can help restore the relationship with you and with God. If they ever repent, and if you believe it, show them grace and forgiveness. Then rejoice with them. What can we say Jesus was trying to teach to his listeners? That God values everyone. And so should we. Think a minute about the person or the type of person you wouldn't want to see in heaven. How does God want you to treat them, though? Your brothers and your sisters in the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the way the stories you tell can get past our defenses and speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that as we come in contact with your word each day, that you would change us, that your Holy Spirit would join us and melt our hard hearts. Give us love where there was hate and joy where there was indifference. In Jesus' precious name, amen.